This is the Cinema for All podcast,
a celebration of going to the cinema
with Jack Chell and Abby Standish.
Welcome to the Cinema for All podcast. We're your hosts,
Jack Chell
and Abby Standish, and we're part of the Cinema for All team. We've got a minisode for you today.
Hooray.
Don't say we don't treat you. The director of the new documentary, Matangi Maya MIA, Steve Loveridge, was in Sheffield recently as part of a Q&A tour. So we grabbed him for a quick interview. He was very kind to come and chat to us.
Yes.
And it was great. Well, we say ourselves, but it was actually our superstar colleague, Rosie, took this one on, took the reins on that one.
This is not a horse film. No more horse puns.
Okay, fair enough. She's a big fan of MIA and loved the documentary, so she was the perfect person to do it.
Yes.
You saw the film though, right, Jack?
I did, and I loved it too. MIA, she's not just a really interesting story subject. She's just super compelling. And the film's really cinematically interesting too, because I think MIA wanted to be a documentary filmmaker when she right. started out in her career. But it's great. It tells the story of somebody with loads of star power, but also really uncompromising beliefs in her world that just wants her to be kind of a picture-perfect pop star.
Yeah, because it's got like footage from when she was really young,
yeah.
asking her family about difficult things.
Yeah, she's had the camera
in the documentary.
Yeah, she's had the camera on her whole life, and her own camera on her. So she's, even though this is directed by her friend Steve, it's her story, and she has directed it very much in terms of what she wants to be shown, and she's been the person documenting footage throughout her whole life, and she's amazing. So everybody's going to want to watch this film and then just listen to loads of MIA, which they should. Because she's great.
Definitely. These kind of documentaries offer you a real special insight that you just don't get traditionally, maybe, with other documentaries when she's so close to the subject matter and, like you say, has been filming so much of it for a lot of her life.
Yes.
Well, less about us and more about getting into it.
Yes, let's do it.
So thank you so much for coming to chat to me. I thought it was such an incredible film, and I'm now just totally in awe of MIA and her passion as a musician and as a political activist as well. I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about your experience of making the film, if that's okay.
Of course, yeah.
So can you just talk a bit about what drew you to making the film?
Well, I went to art school with Maya, and we met about 22 or 3 years ago, so I've known her for a long, long time. And we did film and video at college, and I could always remember that she had these videotapes yeah. from when we were students of things like her dad coming back and her brother going to prison and all these dramatic things happening in her family. And it was always in the back of my mind. And I've known her for about 7 years before she became MIA and made music. And then the tapes kind of got forgotten about, and yeah. you know, she did these, I think she was on her 4th album, and she'd had a bit of a rough ride in the media and was mm-hmm. becoming kind of this, had this reputation for being very controversial and a controversy yeah. magnet, and people discussing her as if that was what she set out to do. That was her oh, whole sure. modus operandi. She just loved to cause a fuss for no particular reason. Mm-hmm. And I went to her manager and said, look, we've got all these old videotapes and I think they would make an incredible documentary. And I think it'd be a lovely thing for people to see some context behind her activism and her involvement in politics and why she's sure. talking about these things all the time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much that I wanted to chase down her critics and sort of build her reputation back, because I think I've made quite an open film where you can really make your mind up, and some
yeah,
people
definitely.
Come out of it and yeah. still not liking her, you know, mm-hmm. not converted. But yeah, that's not a problem. I think it's a film about someone who is known for being problematic, and I just wanted to have a look at some of the problems and where they came from.
Yeah, sure. I think one of the things that was really interesting to me is because she aspired to be a documentary maker herself, all of that footage seemed to make it feel more authentic and personal, and more of like an intimate look into her life before becoming a musician. Can you talk a bit about how you chose the footage that you chose? I mean, there's obviously lots to go on, and about the actual filmmaking process.
Yes, I think the film is quite rough and ready. It's quite sort of harsh. I let the Verite footage run really long, even though it's not good quality, it's not well filmed, it's not high definition, because she was an amateur documentary maker, so she filmed things quite thoroughly. So you do get actual full scenes, whereas most music documentaries have a bit of home movie to show what people look like when they were kids, but they're just larking about in the garden or at grandma's birthday party. This was actually half-finished documentaries that I was handed over, so they were very dense in kind of quality footage. So watching hours and hours of it, there were so many multiple shots that you could use and so many scenes that it was very difficult choosing exactly what I wanted to talk about. But basically, the film's called Matangi Maya MIA, and I decided to focus on what it was like to try to juggle being from more than one culture and having more than one persona and carry that right through to the heights of pop culture and the American dream and being a pop star, like still hanging on to your former self and not just assimilating and letting it all go, because that's something that's very important to her, just having an honest identity. So rather than sort of being 100% a Tamil Sri Lankan or 100% a London immigrant or a pop star, she's all three at once and wants to be all three at once and not let any of it go. And I think that's where some of the tension with the media comes from, is them boxing her and pigeonholing her to sort of say, you've got to be authentic to talk about any of this stuff. And being authentic means you're 100% something. So she's constantly up against this battle of like, you're not a proper Tamil because you didn't live there for 20 years. Yeah. And why are you talking about this stuff? You don't really know what you're talking about. Or don't use a Clash sample in Paper Planes. What do you know about being a punk in London and, you know, that kind of thing? So it's really a film about that, how to negotiate. And sometimes she gets it right and sometimes she gets it wrong. And, you know, there have been missteps and difficulties along the way that have been her fault or, you know, times she's blundered. But there's also massive successes.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think that's something that really stood out to me, that contrast of the different parts of her life. Like one scene would be her in Sri Lanka witnessing all this horrific violence, and then the next it would cut to her on the red carpet or performing at Coachella. I think that was really powerful in sort of giving an overview of her identity. Yeah, and the film, it felt really personal and intimate, and I think that's not just because it was footage that she'd filmed herself, but also because of your pre-existing relationship with her. What was it like making a film about a friend?
It was very difficult. I think in the back of my mind, I was always worried that not so much our relationship would be damaged, but that I was putting her mum on camera and in cinemas, and her grandma and her dad, and they've all got sensitivities about some of the issues raised in the film. It's not a film about Tamil politics. That was outside the scope. Explaining the whole history of Sri Lanka and why there's a civil war and all of that kind of stuff was way outside the bounds. I found it difficult to even just fit MIA's story into 90 minutes. But nevertheless, I did feel a real responsibility. If you're dealing with her dad sort of saying, I smuggle guns and bombs and I'm the founder of the Tamil resistance movement, that's serious stuff. That's to do with the anything to do with the Tamil Tigers is a very sensitive subject within the Tamil community, and I felt a huge sense of responsibility not to get it wrong. So I really did all my homework. I read her dad's books. I interviewed him, even though it didn't make the movie. I interviewed him, and you know, part of the difficulty was I was sort of sat there thinking, what if I interview him and it transpires that I do have a moral or ethical problem with what he's done or what he's been involved with? But fortunately, as it transpired, I didn't. The more I got to know about him, the more I realised that he wasn't in the Tamil Tigers or advocating for the Tamil Tigers. He was an entirely separate entity that kind of was a mediator between lots of different factions. Yeah. It's incredibly complicated, the Sri Lankan situation, but I honestly don't know what I would have done if he had said, I'm a terrorist and I'd blow babies' arms and legs off all day, and you know, if you know how I would have negotiated that with my friendship with Maya. But fortunately it didn't happen. But you know, it was difficult on that level. And then there's just the difficulty of making a film about your friend when they're like, don't make me look fat and that sort of thing. You know, the real basics of like, don't put that shot in, I've got terrible hair and I sound like an idiot. And then I was just like, Maya, you can't come in the edit suite for the whole duration, because otherwise it's just going to be your film about you and why am I even here. You've got to give me that trust and that objectivity, as objective as you can be as a friend. Like, she knows I'm quite serious about MIA and the politics mm-hmm. and that side of things, and she knew I wasn't making a trivial, you know, puff piece about yeah. how great and how famous she could be. And yeah, I think in the end we showed it at Sundance, and that was more or less the first time Myra had seen it. Obviously I'd had to ask her lots of questions along the way about what's going on in this tape yeah. and who's that person and what are they saying in Tamil here. And she came down from the crowd having seen it, and I was like, in front of everybody, I had to say, did you like it? She went, no.
Oh, no.
Everyone went, kind of thing. But she was just like, it's not what I was expecting. Where's the music? Where's all the performance? And it's so uncool. Like, you've taken all the cool out. And I knew what she meant. Like, I didn't edit it on a style tip at all, because the good haircuts and the amazing dancing, or the great 90s throwback clothing or whatever she'd remembered that yeah. she'd filmed, it was never the same scene where you're getting this politics and identity story. So I had sure. to choose between one and the other, and yeah. I think the identity story is much more interesting. Mm-hmm. You can always make a compilation video of all your amazing outfits that you wore through your
yeah,
career
sure.
and some other director can do that, but I think this yeah. we only had one chance to make this, and mm-hmm. I think I put the things that I felt resonated with me the most and that I thought would make a difference to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've made the right choice. Having now seen
yeah,
audiences see
it,
I think I've made the right
definitely.
Choice.
Do you think she'll watch it again and change her mind?
Oh, she's seen it many times yeah. after that. Sundance was all, it's a very industry kind of fest, and everyone's trying
yeah.
to sell their movie and charm Netflix and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then after that, we did Berlin and New York.
Okay,
and
cool.
Berlin, we were able to invite loads of Tamils, and she's got loads of cousins that went
oh,
to Germany.
Amazing.
When her part of the family went to England, another whole side of the family moved to Germany, and they all came, and they were in tears, and they were all having a massive debate about some of the issues in the thing,
yeah,
and
yeah.
suddenly she got to see it from their perspective, and
yeah.
it really changed their mind. And then she
yeah.
showed it to her mum, and she liked it. And then, you know, a couple of nights ago we did a massive Tamil screening in London, and there were hundreds
oh.
of them turned up, and it was fabulous.
Oh,
and there were
yeah,
tears,
really,
and everybody's remembering all these stories
yeah,
that they haven't
yeah.
talked about for years. So that side of things, it's been incredible.
Yeah, I guess for them it will bring back a lot of memories that they didn't know were
mm-hmm.
on film, then she'd been making a documentary.
It does. And one of the really nice things is that after the screenings, the people that wait behind to come up to Maya to sort of say wow, or they've got something to tell her,
yeah.
are usually not Tamil. It's all kinds of different, lots and lots of young women, young girls find it very inspiring as
yeah.
a film, just seeing her out there just being
definitely.
Strong.
Yeah.
And they come and tell her, my family's like yours, and my dad's from Ecuador, and my mom's from here. You know, they've always got a slightly different story, but there's something in it that chimes with them, that immigrant experience.
Yeah.
There's definitely something, there's a gap in film or in popular culture talking about those kind of identities and those kind of stories.
Absolutely.
That this film goes a little way, it's a little
yeah.
chink to
yeah.
Kind of get in there, but I think there should be so many more.
Yeah, no, definitely. So what would you like audiences to take away from the film?
I think to take away it as a conversation topic, because there's a lot of themes and issues in there that I think are really worth discussing, and it's, like I say, it's an open film that doesn't try to be really didactic and tell you what to think.
Yeah.
It's something full of questions rather than full of answers.
Mm, sure.
So that would be one thing. And then Maya herself, I think she's very inspiring just in her attitude
mm-hmm.
to being proud of who you are and taking all the aspects of your character,
yeah.
the good bits, the bad bits, and making your patchwork of everything, being really honest about it, and then celebrating it.
Yeah.
And the bits that the media tell you are worth celebrating and not necessarily the things that make you happy.
Yeah.
And I think one of the really inspiring things I find in it is seeing somebody do it with no money, do it with a cornflakes packet and a tape recorder, and
yeah.
just have a go and go, I've got absolutely nothing. And she still made great work with a
yeah,
spray can
definitely.
And, you know, 50p, whatever you gave her, if you gave her a rubber band and an ice cream tub, she'd
yeah,
she'd
yeah.
make a little song. And having, it's you know, anyone can do that. It's about having the confidence to then go and take that to a record company. That was the magic thing that she did, was ring up Central St Martin's School of Art when she had no work, failed all of her exams, and just went, I'm good, you need someone like me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm different, I'm unusual, take me, I know I haven't got a portfolio, I failed all my exams, I'm as good as any of them, go on, let me in. And that was exactly the same when she went to the record label, XL in London. She just knocked on the door with a crappy little CD that she'd made with a hand-drawn little thing on the front and just said, listen to this, you know, I'm amazing kind of thing. And it's that fake it till you make it, you know, even if you're not confident inside, just pretend you are and give it a go. And it worked perfectly for her. And all the way through, you know, of course, I was backstage at the Super Bowl and she was like, what the hell are we doing kind of thing. She was absolutely racked with nerves, but then she just turns it on and goes, well, if it's not me, who else is going to do it and be out there representing kind of thing. And that chutzpah, or whatever you call it, I hope people take a bit of that away.
I definitely feel very inspired after watching it. So, yeah, no, it's really good. So, finally, what's next for you? Have you got anything, any projects in the pipeline?
Well, Maya has announced that she's writing a musical and has asked me to come and help with that, which I think MIA the musical would actually be fantastic.
Yeah.
Because we did go out to India and she did this art, it's called a Biennale, the first Indian art Biennale, and she did a performance before it and she did it with live musicians rather than electronic like Diplo DJing or something behind her. It was hundreds of like temple drummers and everything, and it sounded amazing with the traditional Tamil instruments at the same time as her rapping and bringing in electronic music over the top and blending it. I was like, wow, actually an MIA musical would be
awesome.
Incredible. So I do hope she does that and I might work on it with her, but for me, I don't know, I'm exploring, because I've been around documentary world. This film took quite a long time because as a first time filmmaker I made a few mistakes and you know hit a few stumbles along the way, so it took about 5 or 6 years in total. So I really like pre-production and post-production. I don't think I'll be directing another, like getting behind the camera and directing very soon. Don't know, it depends what turns up, but something like that. And then my real passion is 3D stuff.
Awesome.
So 3D scanning, 3D animation, all of that kind of thing is what I've been doing in between. Every moment I've got spare between this, I've been learning that. So some kind of hybrid, you know, like AR and VR. Documentaries, but they're 3D, that sort of thing.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for taking the time to
talk to me.
And congratulations on the film. It's amazing and powerful.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
Thanks.
This episode of the Cinema for All podcast is brought to you with the help of the extremely wonderful gang at the Showroom Cinema in Sheffield.
There are some great films coming out this month and a trip to the cinema is a perfect way to unwind. With cheap tickets for under 26-year-olds, comfy seats and an outstanding programme of new international releases and classics to rediscover, you'll always find yourself welcome.
So get yourselves to the Showroom Cinema or any of the great independent cinemas across the country. Find out more and book tickets at showroomworkstation.org.uk. Well, that was great. I love getting to hear from directors about the process.
Yeah, and I think what's so interesting is that Steve's obviously a really important friend to MIA.
Yeah.
And that comes across in the film, their kind of closeness. And you see a side of her that you wouldn't see if it was just some other filmmaker.
Definitely makes a really unique creative relationship. And Rosie, I mean, she must be a bad girl.
And she do it well.
Yes! Go see this film, everybody. We're not kidding. It's great.
It is.
But for now, let's roll credits. Producer,
Jay Platt.
Logo designed by
Lydia Lipinski at Thoughts Make Things.
Hosted by
Jack Chell
and Abby Sandish, with thanks to
Deborah Parker, Sheffield Live, Linnea Michaela, Izzy and Andy at the Showroom Cinema, Rosie Thompson and Steve Loveridge.
The Cinema for All podcast is supported by the BFI, awarding funds from the National Lottery.
Thank you!